Okay, the Public Safety Committee will come to order. Representative Kelly, would you like to move the minutes?
Absolutely. So moved.
Thank you. Representative Simonson. Oh, I'm sorry. We need all those in favor of the minutes from April 3rd. Say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Simonson, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make a motion to re-refer House File 1010 to the Rules Committee.
This is a bill we have previously heard, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct. And my understanding is that it needs to go to the Judiciary Committee. So first we need to send it to Rules to accomplish that.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Paymar, welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, first I'd like to move the DE3 amendment.
We need to move the bill.
Okay, I'd like to move House File 724, and then I'll move the DE3 amendment.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then I'd like to move the A3 amendment, which I don't know, can we just incorporate the A3 amendment into the DE3? Or do we need a motion? Mr. Diebold, do I need a motion, or does it kind of just incorporate the?
Okay, Representative Paymar, you just moved it in. It was incorporated.
The A3. We just moved the DE3 amendment. Now I'd like to incorporate the A3 amendment or have a motion. I just want to know procedurally if that's correct. Mr. Diebold?
That's correct.
That's correct. That I can incorporate it. Very good. Thank you.
Representative Paymar moves to incorporate the A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Okay.
Representative Paymar, to your bill.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. We are going to have one more hearing tomorrow on the sort of an overview of the Violent Crimes Coordinating Council, or that's the right term for them. That's the one part of OJP that we really did not hear, which is the they are the group that has oversight over the gang and drug strike task forces, which we have numerous throughout the state. That potentially could be our last meeting, but we will not totally close down. If any bill needs to be heard here, we will have additional hearings. But tomorrow, as far as I know, will be it may be our last hearing. And because of that, Mr. Chair, I just like to say thanks to this committee, and in particular to my committee administrator, Laura Takenholtze, who came in, I think, at an awkward time, and has just proven invaluable to me, and I think to the committee, and I think respectfully handled all the issues that came before this committee. And I just think it's difficult when you have not been around this place and have to deal with some contentious issues like we have in this committee. My committee legislative assistant, similar thanks to DJ Danielson, who has just done an amazing job, and then as usual to Jeff Diebold and Becky Perius for their work in crafting bills. And having chaired this committee in the past, and I think Representative Cornish would agree that how much you rely on your nonpartisan fiscal staff to help you through the process. And I remember having Gary Carger here, and he was always seemed invaluable to me, and always provided such thoughtful advice, and knew the dollars real well. And John Waltz has really lived up to that same level of experience and expertise. And I really thank you for all the work you've done in helping me put this bill together, albeit not as large as it was when I had the judiciary component in it, but still always a difficult process to try to find them the money and prioritize things with a limited budget. And Representative Cornish, even though we disagree on the gun issue, you've been very, very respectful and upfront with me as the lead on this committee, and Representative Rosenthal as vice chair, and John Holquist, GOP staff, and Kate Weeks, DFL staff, and Grace, our page. And so thank you all for your help in making this happen. I'm going to walk through the spreadsheet real quickly and then stand for questions after the spreadsheet, then we can walk through the bill. So basically, if you look at line page one of the spreadsheet, you will see that corrections is on page one and two. Institutions are on page one and two. You'll see throughout the budget document that this includes a $38 million increase to the Department of Corrections, 2.2% for each year of the biennium, and these are the salary adjustments that were agreed to by the governor and the Department of Corrections. So on each bolded line that you see on the spreadsheet division items within each agency, education, health services, and I'll just draw your attention to things that have either changed or I think might need some additional explanation, because 95% of what I have done here is following the governor's recommendations. So you will see on line 26 the general fund employee compensation, that's the salary adjustments. The Kiefer bill, which is on the House floor, is Representative Kiefer here? No, she's not here. Which is on the House floor also has to be in this omnibus public safety bill, because there are expenses in this biennium and into the tails. This is the enhanced penalties for repeat sex offenders. And the Simonson bill, as we just mentioned, will go to the Judiciary Committee, but will stay in this bill because there's also a cost here of in the biennium, as well as a tails expenditure. One change that you will see is on line 29. And this is for addition. I'll talk about this in greater detail when we get into the bill, but this is for additional treatment beds for sex offenders. There was a balance left over from MnCOR, so this is coming out of the Department of Corrections, but there was a balance left over, if you want, the department can testify about this, but I hope I'm adequately taking the temperature of this committee when it seems, and the public, if the public knew, that we have a lot of sex offenders in our institutions, and only 30% of them are getting any treatment. And 95% of those sex offenders are getting released into your neighborhood and my neighborhood. And I think it's irresponsible on our part and the department's part not to provide sex offender treatment to those offenders who are incarcerated. This doesn't even get us close to where we need to be, but as I understand, this maybe brings us up to close to half of the sex offenders will be then treated under this $3 million appropriation would be mandated for additional treatment beds for sex offenders. The rest under institutions I'm following the governor's recommendations. If you look at line 54 on page 2, that's community services. I would have hoped that we would have been able to find some additional resources for probation services, and we did not. But you'll see the community services on pages 3 and 4. I would have hoped that we would have been able to find some money for a vendor work crews, I know in many of your districts, this is very popular. It's very helpful. It puts vendors to work, and we were not able to find additional funding for that. On line 102 on page 3, we begin operation support, and I have followed the governor's recommendations. You'll see that on pages 3 and 5. There are no changes. The shaded area, again, is the employee compensation that was recommended, that was agreed upon by the department and the governor. So then on line 163, you see the total corrections budget, the governor's recommendation and the House recommendation. On page 5, you will see the, here's where we begin the Department of Public Safety budget. First with the line 169, the Homeland Security and Emergency Management base funding. The only, I did not change this recommendation from the governor, but this is roughly a million dollar appropriation to restart the Minnesota School Safety Center. Now, I hope that this legislature in the future will inquire and ask questions about how the School Safety Center is working. But I think in light of the school shootings that have happened in Minnesota and elsewhere, that that this is probably a good expenditure to ensure that the school districts are getting the proper technical training on how to deal with active shooting, lockdown planning, developing school safety plans in case there was a shooter in one of those school districts, and looking at it more from a law enforcement perspective rather than an education perspective. I understand there is some money in the K-12 budget to do some training also, but this will be very different and it'll be ongoing. But I think that it's incumbent upon this committee to measure its success, to find out how the training is working, and so I hope that we will have these folks come and report back on their efforts throughout the state. And then on line 181, everything that's bolded, again, is our other divisions within the agencies. If you look at page 6, beginning on line 196 is the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. And again, we're following the governor's recommendations on lines 203, 204, 205, 206. And this is a forensic laboratory replacement, and this is probably not enough money, but it will hire 4 new scientists. As I understand, the turnaround time is really quite long, and as long as 4 months. I could stand to be corrected on that, but most of this money is coming from the general fund. There is some trunk highway money coming for this purpose, which is DWI enforcement by the State Patrol and other law enforcement agencies who have for the toxicology and drug chemistry and blood samples, et cetera, et cetera. So this is replacing equipment and it's additional staffing. Again, probably not enough, but it's what the governor recommended. You will see two other critical database funding items that are critical to the Department of Public Safety. And the first one is on line 215. The second one is on line 217. And this roughly provides about $8 or $9 million to fund the criminal history system, which is critical for providing information about criminal history to the BCA. These are antiquated systems that need to be replaced. And also the crime reporting system, again, I believe is about 40 years old and also needs to be replaced. So we have a little bit of a funding change here, and I'll explain that in how we fund the criminal history system and the crime reporting system in a moment. We did take the governor's recommendations on line 219 to maintain the live scan system. Again, the going back to the criminal history system, this is, as I understand it from the department, that it's going to take 4 years to roll out this and complete this program. So that's why you see $5.5 million in this biennium and then $3.5 million in the tails. Mr. Walls, correct there? Okay. And the same thing in on line 217. You see $2.7 million for this biennium and $1.3 million for the biennium. So what did not get funded, the governor's recommendation, is the data analysis and analytics services, which in talking with the department, I think is something that we should be funding at some point. It's lower on their priority list. The key priority issues for them are the criminal history system and the reporting system, and that's what we have funded. Then on line 251, you'll see that that's the total BCA funding. 257 is the fire marshal. We did not use any of the fire safety account. On line 268 starts the budget for the alcohol and gambling enforcement. On line 290 is the Office of Justice Programs. You will see that we agreed with the governor's recommendation on the crime victim assistance grants. We are appropriating $3 million in this biennium in addition on top of their base. And for those of you who have sexual assault programs or domestic violence programs or general crime victim programs in your districts, you know that most of them have taken a hit over the years. These cuts have been very difficult and for them to maintain their programs and maintain the advocates that work with victims of crime. So this, I think, does not restore all of the cuts, but it gets us closer to where we where they should be. A couple of new items that you will see here are we did increase the amount of money for youth intervention programs, which is House File 673, which I think was a Simon bill. Was that a Simon bill? They asked for a significant amount of money, and we were not able to do that, but we did give them an increase from their base from $1.5 million to $2 million, which will help existing programs and maybe start some in underserved areas. I don't know. It's not a lot of money, but it does help out, which I think is a critical program for preventing and intervening with young people who are unfortunately heading down the road to some of them into our juvenile justice system and criminal and adult criminal system. We did fund $300,000 in one-time appropriation to a reentry program. I'm not really sure it's a pilot. It says so in your, on your spreadsheet, but I believe the program. This is a Simonson bill. I don't think that's a pilot, but so we should just take that word off at some point. I wish that we could have put a lot more money, and I know Representative Mullery shares my view here, and in the past we had more money into reentry programs statewide through the Department of Corrections, and we just did not have the money. But, you know, again, just like with the sex offender treatment, I mean, 95% of these people are getting out of prison. And when we put obstacles in their ways, they're already a felon. And if they can't get housing, if they don't have job training, if they can't get a job, then they're going right back into the system. And I don't think that's a smart use of our money, and it's not the right thing to do. There is money for reentry, but we didn't have additional money that I wish we could have found. So then on line 317, you'll see the total amount for the Office of Justice Programs. Line 321 is the emergency communication. Line 324 is the governor's recommendation for $1.6 million over the biennium for armor maintenance. You'll see base adjustments throughout the spreadsheet, which I believe are 1% and 1% and 1% over the biennium. So these are for other agencies that are not non-Department of Corrections. On 329, you'll see the funding, which is a fixed appropriation for the post board that comes from a different formula. I know Representative Cornish would like more here. We can have that discussion at some point. The private detective board is a relatively small fee-based agency. The Human Rights Department, we followed the governor's recommendation on line on page 10, line 353. In line 357, you'll see the addition of human rights compliance staff. I believe this is two FTEs that we're adding. And then there's a base adjustment. And the total human rights budget line is 378. And there you on 380, you see the all funds at the bottom of the on line 386, you see the all of the funds under the public safety finance omnibus bill. On page 11, you will see the transfers that occurred. One on line 398 is the MNCOR transfer to the general fund, and how we use that money for the sex offender treatment. And you will see a DVS transfer to the general fund, and that general fund money is now being used to fund the criminal history database, the criminal history and the criminal reporting systems that, I again, as I mentioned, are obsolete, are old, are not working, and we need to replace. So with that, I can, if you'd like, Mr. Chair, I can go through the bill real quickly, and then we can open up to questions. That
sounds good.
Okay. I've gone through. I just want to make sure that on line three of the bill, there you see the language on the criminal history system. Again, this provides criminal history to the practitioners who work within the criminal justice system. That appropriation, I believe, goes to the Office of Enterprise Technology put the computers and databases together. And the same thing on line 3.25 on the criminal reporting system. The live scans, just on page 4, these are, as I understand it, there's 177 machines, and that we contract with a manufacturer that in a single source contract, and this is to ensure that we have electronic fingerprints at the BCA. I think we heard testimony earlier in the session that there were like 160,000 files in suspense that, you know, really is really a public safety concern. So we have to make sure that these live scan fingerprint systems are operating and functional. What else can I we already went through on page 5 the crime victim programs. Page 6, you'll see the youth language on the youth intervention programs. Page 6 and 7 deal with the armor program. And at the bottom of page 8, that's where you'll see the language on sex offender treatment beds. And as I understand it, again, this will provide 100 sex offender treatment beds. And we have language in here that the the funds appropriated in this paragraph are to supplement current funding for sex offender treatment and shall not be used to supplant current funding for sex offender treatment. I understand that there is a bit of a space issue at some of our institutions and hope to work with Representative Houseman this year and next year if there are any space issues that are available. I know there's some asset preservation for the Department of Corrections, but if they need additional space, I'm hoping that we can find some additional money to make that happen. But I really do think this is a priority. And if we had more money, I think we should have more resources also for chemical dependency treatment, which again is underfunded in this budget. Just to the sections that you might that are sort of policy, but they're not policy from this committee. They're policy that came from the governor. I'll draw your attention to page 9, section 8. And Mr. Diebel, you can help me if I'm getting this wrong, but the this language came from the governor's office that would allow when we transfer money from the trunk highway fund to the BCA for labs that the state patrol uses, you will see that we have deleted the stricken language that was in statute under the BCA and also the tort claims under MnDOT. And on section 9 and section 10 and 11, this all has to do with, if I understand this correctly, when the federal government houses offenders in our corrections facilities. It's a small amount of money. Apparently, it used to be a larger amount of money when we were housing more federal and offenders from other states. Now it's a minuscule amount of money. Apparently, this will make it much easier for the Department of Corrections to accept that money. And that's also Section 10. Under Section 11 of the bill, this deals with the Department of Human Rights, and this is a certificate of compliance that the department gives businesses. And the department asked for this to be extended from 2 years to 4 years, apparently. This makes it easier for businesses to ensure that they're in compliance with human rights provisions on hiring minorities. And you will also see the filing fee, which is neutral on section 12. This is instead of 2 year compliance, this is for 4 years, so the $150 fee is just doubling the fee. And section 13 again is the Kiefer bill enhancing for repeat fifth degree criminal sexual offenses that can be charged out as felonies. The Simonson bill on section 14, which is the repeat violations and providing for presumptive sentences that will be heard in Representative Hilstrom's committee. That, members, is the spreadsheet and the bill. I'm happy to stand for questions, and Mr. Waltz can also help you and us with any questions you have about the spreadsheet.
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Chair Paymar, could you explain a little more on the tort claim issue on line 9.23, why that was X'd out?
Mr. Chair, no, I can't.
Oh. Who can?
Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cornish, the year 2000, this subdivision that you see starting on line 9.2 was put into law by the legislature to forbid certain appropriations or certain uses of trunk highway fund dollars. We've been in violation of this law ever since. We have made, there is a base appropriation in the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension for forensic laboratory technicians made out of the general fund, as well as a an appropriation made to the tort claims account of a couple hundred thousand dollars a year.
People, please turn your cell phones off. They're on.
From the there's been a standard appropriation to the tort claims account from the Trunk Highway Fund of about $200,000 a year, and this has been standard practice for decades. This tort claims account pays small claims to keep them out of court, where people make a claim against MnDOT for perhaps a chunk of concrete falling from a bridge and damaging their car, or damage from a pothole, or if they're snowmobiling in a ditch and perhaps hit a signpost. So the Trunk Highway Fund puts a small amount in this account, and those claims are paid when reviewed, and I believe they're limited to $2,000, but this is just customary practice the state has followed for years, and striking this reference puts us in compliance with the law.
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Wolf, I was chair during this time, and am I going to get charged with any crimes for violating the law here? Representative Paymar, I don't have a huge problem with your bill. I'll give you one congratulations. It's not a terrible bill.
And I guess that's a compliment.
Representative Paymar.
I have really no suggestions at this time. I might have an amendment for the floor, but I ponder it more. But I would just, boy, somebody has got themselves turned off. I would just encourage you to keep what's not a terrible bill in good shape by not adding any gun amendments in the future. And that's all of that.
Thank you, Representative Cornish. Members, could you please turn off your iPads and telephones? Thank you. Questions from members? Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Paymar. My questions will be related to the spreadsheet on lines 175. And I don't think they'll come as a surprise to you, but I do kind of want to have this conversation before we go too much farther about the school safety center. And let me preface my comments by saying that I 100% agree with the concept behind this and agree with the necessity of it. However, I appreciate the memo that was provided by the department to us, but I'm just going to have to say that I'm still not 100% convinced that we're coordinating well enough with local school districts and or local law enforcement. And I know that there are a number of areas within this budget where many of us would like to spend $1 million, including this initiative, but I honestly just do not feel 100% comfortable with the plan going forward. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not saying that I'm going to do anything, but I just want to throw it out there so that if the department or those who are really truly passionate about this can convince me that this is a good thing going forward and that the pieces are in place to make it an effective program. I'd like to hear that. Otherwise, I think that I would be inclined to try to do something a little bit different. But I just want to say on top of that, if I can, Mr. Chair, thank you for putting this together. I totally agree with it, and I support this bill.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paymar. Again, overall, it's a very good bill. I just have a couple minor concerns on the spreadsheet on lines 215 and 217 for the replacement of the current criminal history system. Instead of the governor had funds out a special resource, and on your budget proposal that comes out of the general fund, are these the funds to replace that system, are they sunset, or is this going to be continued added to their base and continued on forever?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Paymar.
Representative Johnson, good question. And again, this was an area that we struggled with. This, and Mr. Walsh, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but this the money comes from a special revenue account within the Department of Public Safety under DVS. And the governor and MMB and the department made this arrangement. And in fact, there was even more money in it, which at one point for us to do more relative to these data systems that have to be replaced. So it's not, it wasn't my first preference on where the money came from. This is, this money, I believe, Mr. Waltz, is for the four-year period, and then we're done with, the programs are then up and alive and doing what they're supposed to do. They may need, I don't believe we need a future appropriations, unless I'm wrong on that.
Mr. Waltz.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the department was consulted with the available dollars where they would like them allocated, and this, the way it was allocated was done with the available dollars at their request. This fully funds the crime reporting system, which you see on line 217. It funds $8.5 million of the $10 million request of the criminal history system on line 215. The department either needs to come in under budget on these two systems, and they have authority to transfer funds from one to the other, or come in for a request to subsequent to this legislative session to complete those systems. But this leaves them short about $1.45 million on the criminal history system.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, thank you for that information. My concern is that this just isn't added on to their base for future years. Thank you.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with Representative Simons, and I'm concerned about, and I'm not going to make any motion today, of course, but I do want to hear from the department why we're, for one thing, that is continuing out into the tails, and not today necessarily, but I'd like to know why the department can't coordinate. I've been told that there's $5 million for roughly the same types of things, and the part of it is for structure, but in the K-12 bill, and why can't the two departments coordinate better, and why are we, if we teach teachers how to do this, why does it, can't they remember to the next biennium, or we're continuing at the same amount for the next biennium, so that's 4 years at that same amount. I just don't understand that, but.
Welcome to the committee. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Mary Ellison. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. This request is to reestablish the school safety center that we had previously, and it was funded through federal funds. And I can ask Ms. Idy to provide even more details. But what this center does that's different than what the Department of Education effort will do is that it specifically brings law enforcement and emergency planners into the school safety arena. And that has been a gap that has been identified nationally and was identified here in Minnesota. And the previous school safety center did an excellent job of going around the state and helping districts work more cooperatively with emergency services and with police chiefs in doing a safety analysis of the structure of the facility and developing safety plans and in doing exercises. And this is something that isn't just a one-time effort. It's like fire drills or it's like any other sort of emergency planning activity. It does take a continual focus. So that's in general a response to your question. The school, the issue that the effort that the K-12 committee is moving forward with is, my understanding, is much more around the culture of the school, anti-bullying, creating an environment within the school that is less receptive to acts of violence.
Representative Mullery.
Mr. Chair, I think you're talking about a different part of the K-12, but also they're talking about the same thing you're talking about as far as going around and figuring out what needs to be done for safety in the schools as far as different things. So I not today, but I want to know from these two departments, what's, you don't know how much, I mean, what you're saying, they're different. I talked to them, and they're saying they're doing the same thing that you're talking about in a lot of ways. It seems like two departments aren't talking, and maybe we could save some money by having that happen. I'm getting two stories that seem to be coming together, and yet they say they're totally different. So it's not today, but sometime.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mulery, I understand your concern, and we certainly will provide that information. And staff have been in conversation with the Department of Education, but if that isn't clear, we need to make that clear, and we'll do so.
Thank you.
That's
Representative Schoen.
Right. Mr. Chair, I'll pass. I think we covered it. I just wanted to make sure that there was a strong understanding on the difference between educators coordinating planning and then bringing in cops that are going to respond to this and working with the educators and doing the live exercise drills in the schools. And that's a big deal that needs to happen repeatedly, and it needs to happen year after year. So the schools are difficult to come by. No one wants to get their schools all marked up with training rounds and paintball ammunition. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of money to put these together, but they're very important to do. And it's two different sectors. So this is important, but I do agree we do need some review and coordinating on that. People expect the efficiencies out of us, and that's important, and working together in various departments. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions from members?
Yeah.
Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Pavinar, I just wanted to reciprocate the what you said about getting along together, and thank you for allowing time on the hearings that you did, and the input that we've had back and forth. You've given us enough warnings and on amendment deadlines and things like this, so while we might disagree in facts and figures, I thank you for your cooperation and of our wonderful staff. In case I don't get the time, I'll forget about it tomorrow. Thanks for everybody, and even you DFLers. It's been good to work with you, actually, seriously, so thank you very much.
Any other questions from members? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify in favor or against this bill? Representative Paymar, I want to say thank you. I know how hard you've worked on this bill and how gracious you were in committee with all the different things that we had to go through this session, so I truly appreciate your work.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, hold on. Representative Paymar, there is somebody who would like to testify from the audience.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Welcome to the committee. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Mona Doman. I'm the Commissioner of Public Safety. And I won't take up a lot of time. I know that your schedules are very busy, but I just wanted to publicly say thank you to Representative Paymar, Mr. Chair, for your support of the public safety efforts throughout the state of Minnesota, for the ongoing conversations that we've been able to have since the session started, and before and beyond. But also to all of you, thank you for the support of the work that we do in the Department of Public Safety. And we will do our best to answer all of the questions. I've taken notes in the back of the room to answer the questions before end of session and beyond. So thank you very much.
Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, so then I would renew my motion that House File 724 as amended be passed and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Paymar renews his motion that House File 724 as amendment be moved to the Committee on Ways and Means. All passed and sent to Ways and Means. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion prevails. This committee is now adjourned.